mentioned this morning, some people are believing that 2012 is going to be the year of the end of the world. And they've taken that course from the Mayan in Mexico, first the people of Mexico, that they're simply because their calendar stopped at, in our time, December 26, 2012. So somebody got a hold of that and decided they're going to make a big issue out of it and convinced many people that the world's going to end in 2012. It's amazing that the Lord would tell them all about it and not His people. Yeah. You know, and especially He said that when he said He wasn't going to tell anybody. I mean, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. The Scripture same plainly says that we don't know when He is, but He could come back in 2012. It is certainly possible that this thing could be all over in 2012. But you and I don't have to live in a place of fear concerning it. If we have a relationship with Jesus, it would be graduation day when He comes back, praise God. That you and I can move from this place into a place of glory and recognizing that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has come back for all His subjects, and that they would be held close to Him and to be able to live in eternity with Him forever and ever. So it's a wonderful place to be, a wonderful safe place to be. What I want to share with you this morning concerning 2012, there's many things that could be shared concerning 2012. There's areas of prophetic words that have gone out concerning 2012. And I'm not speaking anything against any of those prophetic words that would say one thing or say another thing. I don't even know everything that's being said. All I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you what I believe the Lord told me about where we're at as a church and what He wants us to believe Him for. And I believe He's telling us that the year 2012 is a year of the Lord's favor, a year of the favor of the Lord. And over the next while, I'm going to be sharing with you some thoughts concerning the anointing of God and how the anointing of God can bring the favor of God in our lives, in every area, not just one particular area, but in every area, if we will pay attention to Him. But if we won't and go about our own way, then we're going to get ourselves into a place of distress, probably. And one of the things that I believe the Lord is speaking to us about 2012 and His hand upon our lives in 2012 is in the whole area of integrity, walking with integrity before Him, walking with clean hands and a pure heart before the Lord, walking with Him in such a fashion that the enemy won't be able to get a grip upon us, because he won't be able to find a hook in us, because we have decided that we would walk before Him with clean hands and a pure heart. His favor is worth going after. His favor is worth believing for. But if we are going to receive His favor, then there's some things that we're going to have to make sure that we don't get involved in, and there's some things that we're going to have to make sure that we do get involved in. Now, in the world system, in the kingdoms of this world, there's all kinds of things that are done on man's thinking that things are acceptable when they're not. You know, when you look at North American society and you look at what's happening in the Middle East today, I mean, the Middle East seems to be in chaos right now. There's a lot of nations that are in chaos. Really, one of the reasons why I think they're in chaos, so much chaos today, is because we've had North American governments that looked over there in the Middle East and wanted what they have, meaning oil, and they propped up governments that were based on a spirit of fear. And they trusted that to give them stability in order for us in North America to be able to get from them the things that we wanted. So they aligned themselves with a government that was based on a spirit of fear and had no moral compass. Now, that's one thing you and I have to think about. Are we going to align ourselves this year with people who have no moral compass, in activities that have no moral compass, or are we going to make a decision that we'll get involved and support those who are in a place of seeking after the things of the kingdom of God? At least some have some kind of concept of a moral compass that they live by. Because if we don't, we're going to end up dealing with people who are totally unstable, and it will have an influence on us. I mean, that's the reason why we're paying, you know, the prices of oil, for instance, seem to be going up quite a bit, is because there's so much instability in the world. There has to be a concept of being amongst a people who are walking in the peace of God rather than in the fear of the devil. And when you look at the Middle East, you look at Iraq, you look at Iran, you look at Egypt, you look at so many of these nations, they're nations based on fear. Their government's based on fear. What they do is they keep their people in a place of fear in order to try to control them. And unfortunately, governments in North America have had their part in propping those types of government systems up, just because they thought it would bring them security. Listen, anything that functions outside the kingdom of God will never add to your security. Will never, anything that functions in the area of fear will never add to your security. It will only add to your confusion when it's all said and done. Now, I want to begin by reading from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to be reading a very familiar passage this morning. The Lord wants us to look into for 2012, where he wants us to go. In Isaiah 61, the prophet Isaiah begins to prophesy about the coming Messiah. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. "And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me." Say this with me. The Lord has qualified me. He has qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of prison and of the blind of the eyes to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Another translation says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, or the year of the Lord's good pleasure. The year of the Lord's good pleasure has come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the scripture says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me in order to do something. The prophet Isaiah prophesied this many, many years before. And when he prophesied that, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon the Messiah, and he's going to be anointed by the Spirit of God in order to perform the tasks that he's called to do. Now, that's not different than what you and I are called to do. We can count on the Spirit of God anointing us to do the tasks that he wants us to do. He gives us power to accomplish the task. Missionary Hudson Taylor said this, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." I want us to think about that a little bit. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. He's able to supply all we need in order to bring about the things that he wants us to do in our lives. Let me read this from the Message translation. Isaiah 61 verse 2, "God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn." God has come, Jesus has come to comfort those who mourn. Jesus has come to comfort us when we are in a hard place, when it seems like we're between a rock and a hard place. He's come to comfort us, and really his comfort is saying, hey, things are going to be all right. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. I'm going to pull you through, and you're going to come out on the other side looking better than when you went in. Praise God. And if you're having a difficult time today, if you're concerned about issues this morning, about 2012, where you're going to and what you're going to do in your life, if you're concerned about those things, be confident Jesus is there to pull you through, and he's there to take you to a better place. In other words, he doesn't want you to live there in that place that you're having a difficult time with. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed these words, and 700 years later, Jesus stepped on the scene. 700 years after this, Isaiah the prophet spoke these words, Jesus stepped on the scene. In Luke 4:38, we read, we can understand that he's about to speak and read the very prophetic words of Isaiah the prophet in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Or you could say to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Verse 20, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So here's Jesus, he's in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he's stood up to read, and the person who looked after the books, the scriptures in their meeting, handed the book to Jesus. And when the scripture says that he opened the book, really it talks about he unrolled the scroll. They were reading from scrolls at that particular time. When Jesus stood up to read in the midst of his people, he opened this scroll, and the Bible says that he found the place in Isaiah 61. In other words, he opened it up until he found that place because he wanted to declare something to the people. He wanted to declare that something was going to change from this point on, that what the prophet Isaiah had spoken about years and years before, that it was about to be filled, and he was saying, look at me, I'm the one who is to fulfill all that Isaiah the prophet spoke about. And there's many, many things, of course, that Isaiah the prophet spoke about, but one of the things that he did say, that someone was coming and he would declare the year of the Lord's favor. Now notice, Jesus was told that it was prophesied about him that he would proclaim and declare the year of the Lord's favor. So declaring the year of the Lord's favor doesn't necessarily always mean that we're going to have the favor of the Lord in a particular time if we are not in a place of believing God for his favor to be on us. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. So if we're going to have the favor of the Lord, if we're going to have the year of the Lord's favor, we're going to have to be believing that he is going to move on you and I in our situations in 2012 and deal favorably, cause us to have favor in whatever we do, in whatever we touch during that time. Jesus spoke that again, and he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has given me the power to do the tasks that I've been called to do. So Jesus said, I've been given the power, he's anointed me, I've been given the power to proclaim, to decree the year of the Lord's favor. Now think about this for a moment. Jesus went about teaching, preaching the word of God all along in Judah and in Israel. He preached in Galilee, he preached all over the place, and where he preached, many people heard. But when it was all said and done, how many disciples did he have left? I mean, there wasn't that many disciples of his when it was all said and done. But yet he preached the year of the Lord's favor. So many people heard what he was saying, but didn't believe it. Many people heard what he was saying, but didn't act on it. And I'm telling you that today we will get the same results if we refuse to believe and refuse to act on it. The preaching of favor of the Lord in this 2012 can go far and wide, but we can miss the whole thing if we don't believe it. If we don't believe that God is going to show favor upon us in the year 2012. One thing I want to declare for us as a church in 2012, that we are anointed for favor in 2012. That you and I are anointed with the favor of God in 2012. As a church, I want us to rivet in us that we are anointed with the favor of God. The Spirit of the Lord anoints us that we might receive favor in so many areas. Now, what I want to share with you over the next number of weeks is that the Lord will anoint what we're doing. And if we're doing nothing, then there's nothing to anoint. Now, think about that for a moment. Because some of us has to realize that if we want the favor of the Lord, we've got to give him something to favor. We've got to step out and begin to do something so that his favor will be able to be shown through what we're doing. Another scripture says he will prosper everything we put our hand to. Well, if we don't put our hand to anything, then we won't prosper in it. So we must put our hand to something. And the anointing of God will come and lead us in the things that we need. Luke 4:19, and that Jesus preaching that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And it'll come if you believe. What did Jesus say about belief? He said, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. What do you suppose happens to the person who doesn't believe? Now think about this for a moment. There's a lost and dying world, and there's not one thing they have to do in order to make it to hell. There's nothing they have to do. Before I was saved, I didn't have to do anything, and I would end up in hell. There's nothing that I had to do to get me to hell. But I had to do something to get me to heaven. And so I came, I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I trusted him to save me, and he came and saved me. He came and honored my faith. And as I began to believe in him, he began to show me things. He began to give me insights into the ways of the kingdom of God. I had to do something. Well, once we're in the kingdom of God now, if we want to see the favor of the Lord come upon the things that we are touching in this world, we are going to have to do something. We are going to have to apply our faith and trust in him in order to bless what we are putting our hand to in 2012. If not, nothing will happen. Nothing will take place. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, favor speaks to us of grace or being granted something merely on the basis of the goodness of the giver. If somebody shows me favor, it's not that I've earned the favor. If somebody does me a favor, let me say, a favor is something like somebody might give me something or somebody might do something for me, not because I've earned it, but just out of the goodness of the person who gives it. And the favor of the Lord comes to us not because we've earned it, not because we have done something necessarily to deserve it, but because he wants to show favor upon us, upon his children. Don't you want to favor your children? I mean, you can't help but want to see your children prosper and do good and so forth. You want to show them favor. Well, God wants to do that for you and I. But you want to show your children favor, not because there might be, you might have five or six children, you might have more. And you might decide, there's one person I want to favor. There's one of them I want to favor today. It doesn't mean that you don't want to favor the rest of them, but maybe there's one of them that you want to show favor on today. It doesn't mean that the rest of them aren't just important or anything like that, but today there's this one individual that you want to show favor upon. Well, did that person do something? Maybe they did something to catch the heart of the one who's about to show them favor. Let me tell this story. I hope I get it correctly.